thank you. I really do. I appreciate this. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to be in chapel this morning. But speaking to adults is not particularly comfortable for me. If you were all under 12, we could make this work. We'd start with a game. I'm thinking a mini treasure hunt where the final clues point to some small object that is itself a clue to our topic for the day. Once we had popped open that treasure, we would move on to our memory verse, pairing it with an activity to make the memorizing part happen without intimidation. Then we'd be ready to sit down just in time to tell the Bible story. But you can't be still for that. The Bible is alive and tactile, so we'll act it out together or tell it in a way that has everybody laughing or jumping with surprise or maybe chewing a fingernail in concern. And finally, if there were still time, we'd wrap up with a craft, something to take home with you to remind you of what we've learned today. But sadly, you aren't all under 12, so we will just have to adjust. We'll skip the game, sorry, and go right to the surprise that you were meant to find. This time, what you would have been finding is a bottle of ketchup. This one's almost empty, but it's ketchup. Let me tell you why. Last Saturday, my family got together at my parents' house for supper. So it was my parents, my brother and sister-in-law, three nephews, one niece, and me. We grilled hamburgers and chicken outside and then added a few sides. While we were prepping, my 8-year-old niece was helping in the kitchen, including dicing up the onions. She was a great helper. The meat came in from the patio. We gathered around for prayer and then dug into some honestly very good food. While we were chatting and munching along, my niece thought of something we'd forgotten and went to the kitchen to get it. Somehow, she caught her fingers between the door of the fridge and the door of the freezer and got badly pinched. For a minute, she paced back and forth in the kitchen, trying to shake the pain out of her hand. Then her dad noticed what was happening, reached out toward her, and called her name. She immediately bit her lip and rushed to him. He wrapped her up and started saying things like, "It's okay to cry. Can you tell me what happened?" He pulled her onto his lap while she sniffled and got to feeling better. Okay, that's our little explanation to follow up the game we could only imagine to be playing. The point I hope to make this morning is that God didn't call us to be adults in his kingdom. Jesus very specifically told us to be like little children. Now, the Bible verses for today are Matthew 18:2 through 4. It's this. He called a little child to him, that's Jesus, and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Okay, that's three verses, and if I were actually teaching children, I might limit it to a smaller amount, but you guys are smart. You can handle a long memory verse. So, how about we make sure first that we understand this? You know how kids always want to be grown up? You ask one how old she is, and the answer might include, "And a half." Or you head toward the car with a kid in his early teens, and he might be begging to hop in the driver's seat. Kids grow up wishing they were already older than they are, not quite willing to acknowledge how dependent they really are. It's funny, we're told in scripture to grow in the faith, but it never seems to do away with Jesus' command in Matthew 18, that one that we just read a little bit ago. John Wesley wrote this about it. The "become like little children" means being lowly in heart, knowing yourselves utterly ignorant and helpless, and hanging wholly on your Father who is in heaven for a supply of all your wants. Whew. Utterly ignorant and helpless. That's not a happy thought. But that's not the picture Jesus created for us. He said, change and become like little children. When my brother gathered his daughter onto his lap, I don't think he was thinking of her as ignorant and helpless. He could have. She had just pinched her own fingers in the refrigerator door. But that didn't matter to her dad. All he saw was a precious, hurting child. That seems to be more how Jesus treated those who were ignorant and helpless around him. Such people were so dear to Jesus, he regularly reached out to touch them. There have been times in the last 5 years in particular when I have been utterly ignorant and helpless about a situation, and figuring that part out has indeed been a major part of the change I've needed to make to live like a little child in God's sight. I'm glad that invitation exists for times like those. You might even say we are painfully dear to Jesus. And how else do we need help as children? Maybe you are thinking of things like learning new information or mastering new skills, approaching unfamiliar situations or facing awkward relationships, going through changes or enduring a loss, or any of 100 other life experiences. We learn so much as kids. Don't you think we should continue doing that for a lifetime as children of God? And as we are learning and growing and working as Christians, we can have faith in the faithful, nurturing, protecting, and comforting power of God. Let's listen to our memory verse again, Matthew 18, 2, 3, and 4. He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And that brings us to our Bible story. Now, I know you've been sitting for quite a while at this point, so if you need for some jumping jacks or somersaults, you are welcome to do so now. Just please keep your ears open. This story comes from John chapter 6. This is not one of the stories that Jesus told. It's something that really happened, people really witnessed, and one of his disciples or students wrote down for others to read. So here we go. Jesus decided he needed to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, I did Google this. The Sea of Galilee is about the size of Table Rock Lake. If you're not from this part of the country, you're going to have to Google it yourself. But that gave me a picture of how big it is. I have been on Table Rock Lake and in it and around it since childhood. It seems like a very big body of water to just go walking around to follow someone who might do something. As Jesus went, a huge crowd of people followed him because they had seen the amazing things he had done, like healing people who were really sick. No one else had been able to help them. But then Jesus came along and touched them, and they were all better. The people wanted to see what else he might do. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. And as Jesus looked up, he saw this huge crowd coming toward him. And he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread for these people to eat?" Now, do you think Jesus really wanted to buy bread for thousands of people? Think of how much money that would cost. And they didn't have credit cards back then. Surely Jesus wasn't carrying around a backpack full of all of those people. No, the Bible says Jesus only asked to give Philip a chance to respond and maybe learn something. He was treating him like a child. So Philip answered, "I would have to work for 6 months to have enough money to buy enough bread for every person in this huge crowd to have one bite." Basically, he was saying, "Are you crazy?" Then another one of Jesus' disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go in such a crowd? Maybe that will give a snack to the front row of this one group over here. Would that help? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, so the disciples probably scurried around, hollering and motioned for people to sit down and to pass the message along to the folks in the back. Soon, they had all sat down, all these thousands of people. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and passed them out to the people who were seated closest to him. They took what they wanted and passed the rest along. He did the same with the fish. He took it from the child, gave thanks, and began passing it out to the people he could reach. But it didn't stop with that first group of people up close in the front rows. Maybe at first some people only took a little bit so that there would be more to share, but it was like it just kept expanding in their hands. You would tear off a chunk of bread, pass it to the next person, and it was somehow whole again. Somehow all those thousands of people got to eat, and not just one bite each, but a whole delicious, filling meal that made them full and ready for the long walk home. Not just that. When they had all had enough to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, because even Jesus likes leftovers. Let's not waste anything, he said. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the leftovers from one little boy's lunch. You see, being like a child in the kingdom of God might also mean getting to offer whatever you have, no matter how small, to Jesus, with the understanding that he gets to choose how it will bring him glory. So this is my offering for today, a reminder that Jesus didn't ask us to be competent, confident adults all the time. He called us to be humble, dependent children, always ready to offer whatever we have to him. Thanks for listening.